Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
You and your moo-moo.
I'm still super dehydrated from this fucking party and all the smoke.
Oh my gosh.
We went to bed so late last night.
But I love that y'all have a little community that you could even throw travel party. That's dope.
It was so funny because one dude walked in. He was like, "Is this an all black party?"
That's funny. Are you guys water or something? What you doing?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
How are you feeling otherwise, Inca? What's going on with all your shit?
I get the fuck out of Colorado. Apparently some people come here and their immune systems just crash, and I'm one of those people.
I can see why with the weather systems are insane. Is it an altitude thing, or is just
definitely the altitude? The air is thinner, so like my body's working harder to get oxygenated blood.
That would, yeah, it would probably be hard for me too. I have my asthmatic ass, my lungs already almost never at full capacity.
Yeah. And yeah, I have adult onset asthma, but it hasn't bothered me ever until here.
Okay.
And Ivy gave me a kindergarten cold like 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm still. Oh, Sean needs the room number. Something happened.
Children are bioterrorists. You said Sean needs what?
The room number.
Oh. The link?
Okay. Yeah. Did you see that Bartiz had a baby?
Child, yes. Which is a mess.
He's ridiculous. He's been on 2 dating shows. I had a whole baby.
Which I still need to watch that. What was it? Too Hot. What was the second one?
I don't remember what it's called.
Whatever that second one was, I just still need to watch that one.
I got through like 3/4 of the first episode with like, this is ridiculous. Couldn't do it. I'm about to eat a cupcake from the party.
Netflix, I'm going to take over the Strong Black Lead Twitter account for the reunion. I can't wait.
That's exciting.
I'm so excited. They DM me day before yesterday. They DM me on Friday morning. I was like, are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
Abso-fucking-lutely. There he is. Jeff still ain't here, meanwhile. Hey, Sean.
Morning.
Hey, you guys. Let me just... Okay.
Oh, that's the laundry I hear going. I was like, why? What water is running? So I was just telling Inca, I can't announce it yet, but I'm taking over Netflix's Strong Black Lead Twitter for the Love is Blind reunion.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I'm excited. I mean,
that makes perfect sense. Every time I see Love is Blind, the root of whatever that tweet is Naima. So like, when I go back, I'm like, okay, I know where this originated from. But no, that's dope.
I'm excited. Jason's still like kind of figuring out what the fuck I do, or all the things I do. So every time one of these things, and it's like I'm going into a busy season. So he still can't quite wrap his mind around it because it goes from like I'm hosting these things for Amazon on their Twitch for hip hop on Monday nights to I'm going to Stanford this week, do a speaking engagement to Netflix live tweet. So I know it's still kind of like.
I don't know what you do either.
Tommy.
None of y'all really.
Well, technically,
like, these niggas busy. I'm not
technically,
sure.
I am operations and HR.
For Mona.
COO for
Mona.
For Mona Me Entertainment, for Mona Me Productions, as well as Mona Me Management. I also do that for Mission Impossible, which is actually the physical arm. So when we do physical production, meaning we hire out staff, mm-hmm. We go through a different company.
And, oh, that's called Mission Impossible?
And then that's called Everything is with an M. Mm-hmm. So it's Mission Impossible. And then, so basically now what I have to do is I actually have to tape orientations. I'm mm-hmm. going to have to start doing orientations with our handbook and with like all of the sort of compliance shit. That's why I've been in class because I needed to get that certificate because it's a bit of a difference maker for me. Like it just, you know, I can pass the smell test and it doesn't just look like an owner and her husband is.
Right. Is doing all the shit.
Yeah.
I know so, you got to get that certificate, but everything they were teaching you in that course is garbation. So I hope you immediately.
Yo, it's away from what I've actually realized is that I have to learn how to take their tests. That's really what I'm studying. I'm studying, like when I read a question now, I am not processing this in how real life works as much as
but
I'm processing
how you
this.
Think that they,
how will right. a white man? How will a white man answer this?
Right,
is really
right.
the answer to this question because some of this shit is like it's utterly foolish, and they don't really give you context. It's like,
right.
Hey, what would you do in this situation? I'm like, dude, there are like several layers I would need to know to navigate the situation.
But also, what's interesting? I'm sorry, Jeff. We were talking. So let me let Jeff know what the fuck we talking about. So Jeff, yeah. I was saying that I can't announce it yet, but I'm taking over Netflix's Strong Black Lead Twitter for the Love is Blind reunion.
What's Strong Black Lead? What's that? Well, congratulations, but what's that?
That's Netflix's Twitter for all their Black content and their content with white people.
Well, I didn't know they had a separate Twitter.
Yeah, it's Strong. Yeah. It literally is just Strong. It has the Netflix symbol on it, so you may not have noticed it's not Netflix, but it's the account is Strong Black Lead. So, but I was joking that Jason is still trying to figure out what exactly it is I do. Cause he'd be like, I don't know, Naima doing, she over here on this
over
thing.
Over there on something, doing something.
So then I was like, I don't know what any of y'all do.
Yeah, cause like Vice TV came to tape me at the house for a documentary about live entertainment post pandemic on Friday. I've been holding something for Amazon's Twitch on Mondays. I teach class on Wednesdays. I'm going to Stanford. So he's like, none of these things line up. You know what I'm saying? So
none makes
like,
sense.
Right. So it's like, what the fuck? So Inka was like, I really don't know what none of y'all do. And Sean was explaining
what he do.
Right.
So I was like, so why is this nigga talking about HR?
I am a domestic logistics engineer and an autism care navigator.
Yes. One of the best.
Advocates.
One of the best.
And it's trash, and the pay is terrible, but that's what I do.
Wait, this is my mom calling. Wish me happy Easter. Hold on a second. Hi, mommy. Happy Easter.
And then Jeff just blasted Chicago to eat at five restaurants.
Getting ready to tape the pie.
Well, no, I didn't. I ate Chicago. I ate it. Oh, that food was trash. But I ate the airport. It was garbage. Basic.
Tell everybody who I know. I said hi and happy resurrection. Oh, call me from Kirby.
This is very Black.
Right. Happy Resurrection.
Very, very Black. Real live Black shit.
Yeah, super Black shit.
Yeah.
Super Black shit.
Wait, hold on. Let me pause and get it going again.
Right, exactly.
Listen,
put my ham in the oven when I get back to church.
I want y'all to know I was this close to making a ham today. The only reason I didn't, and the only reason I didn't is because I could, it's only me and Jason today, because at first mom was going to be here, Eric was going to come, and everything. So I was going to make a ham, mac and cheese. I was going to do the spread, right?
You was going to do the spread, yeah.
I was going to do the spread, but them hams was too damn expensive in the store.
Well, ham is ham not that pricey, too?
Ham is wild. It was the 3.5 ounce of honey baked is $60.
But what the price was for a half spiral ham, like, no, like boneless spiral ham in the store, I would and I still got to cook that bitch. I would rather just go and buy from Honey Bank. It was going to cost me like $35, $40.
Yep.
Yeah.
Half a ham.
They have not readjusted any pricing based on what they have spiced everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm a potato chip guy. Like, fam, it's literally $7.19 for a bag of Ruffles sour cream and onion.
Somebody was saying that grocery stores, I read that grocery stores are using, you know, inflation kind of as an excuse to pad these prices.
Absolutely.
I'm like, this is wild.
It's insane. I've seen
because a little thing of fruit in the Publix here is $8.
Yo, the bags of chips by the register here, the ones that are supposed to be like $1.50, them bitches be like $2.85. I scanned one of them out because I usually don't pay attention. I scanned like some Cheetos. I was like, bitch, I'm about to go buy a full bag of Cheetos.
No, the full bag.
You went and got the attendant. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me.
The full bag of Cheetos, the full bag of Cheetos is probably closer to $8 than you pay.
I know.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
I'm a raisin person, so when I go, it's crazy to see the differences in prices. So I go to one store, and that shit will be like $7.99 for like
raisin person.
Oh yeah, I eat raisins. Raisin person too. Yeah, this is a raisin household here.
But I'm a golden raisin.
Oh well, Ivy would have had a good time over there because that's one of her food groups.
But yeah, now raisins are that's my go to cornflakes and raisins. Cornflakes, raisins, skim milk.
79 years old.
Keep
your regular.
I'm not mad at y'all, because I used to do Special K and golden raisins and skim milk. It's a very good combination. It's like, it's raisin brand, basically. But yeah. Read me.
Yeah.
I mean, the eggs, everything is too damn high. And
no, you ain't talk about like, nobody wild on a first aid basis with your eye doctor.
He's a good man now. He's a good man.
I went down to his house for a barbecue.
I'm gonna go carry my eye doctor a little something. My cousin made I on the last note with groceries being too hot, yesterday was the first day in my life that I actually was in the supermarket looking at the circular light. Well, if we get this on sale, babe, we should get these over here. And he was like, you like my grandma.
I seriously considered couponing because this shit is out of control.
I really do have to start coupon clipping, and I really do have to start making a grocery list based on what's on. Like, that's where we at.
Because they're going to keep it turned up for a while.
A list?
They're going to keep it turned up for a while because it's summertime.
No, I'm top with a list. I mean, I need to start making a list based on what's on special.
Oh, true.
Because
the cookouts and shit coming up. They about to turn up on y'all.
Not yesterday, but the last thing I'll say on it. So I went to the store to get stuff for my mother-in-law before we left. And it was one of the times where like privilege really kind of slapped me in the face because I had oil. And the lady asked me, oh, how much is the oil?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. I pick up the things that I'm shopping for and I'm not necessarily sending. And so it was just another sort of time where I had to be like, wow, like I really do live a bit of a privileged life that I can just kind of walk down the aisle and just kind of grab the shit that I want.
I started comparison shopping, and I'm not a comparison shopper. I'd be like, let me get this store brand canola oil right fast. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I do that. Yeah, I do. Yes.
Pop Life Podcast today is Easter Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday for us black folk.
Yeah, is this the 8th?
The 9th.
The 9th, yeah. So happy Easter to y'all.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Still be doing the Easter bunnies and the jelly beans and all that?
Yeah, kids.
You know what? Easter basket now.
Easter baskets have become like even a bigger thing. You know how like prom poles and stuff have gotten bigger? I've noticed that Easter baskets have gotten bigger. Like, I knew some folks, well, they don't even go to church. They'd be like, I got to get my kids Easter. I'd be like, what?
But yeah, people are doing full-fledged Easter presents now.
Yeah.
Presents? Really?
Yeah.
It's a I'm out the loop.
I hope y'all get the jelly belly jelly beans, because them other jelly beans, the softer ones, it's just nasty. So
yeah,
I don't buy jelly beans.
Even do the jelly bellies anymore. Well, I do jelly bellies sometimes, but there is a very specific brand of jelly beans that I discovered years ago in the Dollar Tree of all places, and now I get them off Amazon, but they're always hard to get in the spring. They're called Just Born, and I love them. They're my favorite, but I'm a jelly bean person.
Yeah, I like jelly beans, but I like, you know, the exotic or the exotic flavors, you know, the passion.
That's what I do like.
Mango and, you know.
I'll do the Jelly Belly Tropical and the Jelly Belly Fruit Basket. Those are the only two jelly
beans. I'll make my own. I'll be like, give me a little green apple. Give me a little pineapple.
Give me a little blue.
Yeah, at the candy store. You got to go to the candy store. You know what I'm saying?
You got to go to the candy store.
Yeah, Jelly Belly's also got the, they got the Snapple flavor ones.
Right.
Those are hard body, the super fruit. So yeah, those are the ones I like. But anyway.
Shout out a friend to the show, KMGZ, who eats Peeps. Which is disgusting. Y'all be talking about me and candy corn.
That's the dope. Her and my mama
are Peeps people, and it's extra. Yeah.
That's
I can't do them anymore. Them and the Cadbury eggs, my stomach be like, yo, be
terrible. So we're gonna talk about a bunch of stuff we haven't taped, so we got a whole gang of stuff to talk about. But let me mention this party
that I just had.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Inga had all the black people in the entire state of Colorado in her garage.
At her house, exactly.
In a circle.
In a circle.
Turned it into the Boom Boom Room. Had some cigars. We had a really good time.
Yeah, happy birthday, Trav. Happy birthday.
Dice, there's a dice game in the corner now.
Happy birthday, Trav. Happy birthday, Trav.
No dice.
Real dude.
You know, I want to start off talking. It's so much to talk about, man. I wanted to start off talking about, hey, Ivy. Wanted to start off talking about,
hey, Ivy.
Yeah, that's a long topic. Let's talk about, so much. Oh, you know what? I'm going to give y'all a good 3 minutes and I'm going to time it because we got a lot of stuff. Since y'all say I only talk about the stuff that I like. And I'm going to talk about the stuff that you like, which sometimes be popular. I'm going to give Nye and Inka, I don't know if bro's into this, three to four minutes to go and talk about Succession.
Wait, do you not watch Succession?
No. I don't watch Succession.
No, I don't watch that.
I started it, but I'm nowhere near.
No, I haven't watched it. It was one of those things that I didn't really... When I found out about it, it was like maybe like season three or so. It was like deep.
You were sparring, yeah.
Caught up. Yeah.
Okay, so Succession is an HBO drama that's loosely based on the Rupert Murdoch and family. And it's one of those shows where I know it gets to the point where people feel like it must be overhyped because everybody always talks about how brilliantly it's written, how brilliantly it's acted. But I have a friend who's like, I don't get what y'all get about Succession. It always feels like it's just a bunch of people in a room talking and it doesn't feel high stakes. But that's kind of what's genius about it, is that it's basically about this guy, Logan Roy, multimedia conglomerate, who's getting older and his kids are waiting for him to retire and kind of waiting to see who he's going to anoint.
Place himself with.
Yeah, but like they are all, everything they're doing is really kind of like fighting for his love, because he really has fucked them up mentally and emotionally, you know what I mean? And he doesn't approve of anything, and he doesn't, you know, give any compliments, any emotion, any warmth, everything is about the bottom line in the business. So it's like, it's two levels to this. One level is all these business plays, literally things like, people are in a room talking, yes, and the conversations feel mad casual, but they're really having conversations that are about who they're going to put their money behind for the next president. You know what I mean? Like almost like the Koch brothers being in a room talking about who they're going to... Like, literally, there's a scene in one season where all these rich people are in a room and they know that they're unofficially deciding who's going to be the next person that all the right put their money behind. to back for the presidency. But they do it so casually. Like, they're having these conversations about trying to buy out another media empire. And again, it feels very casual, but you know that they're like, they're talking about billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And kind of mm-hmm. the brilliance of it is that it shows you how these people with money move so crazy and just be throwing around these deals like, I'm going to take a jet over. We're going to take a walk for 10 minutes and have this conversation to decide whether or not we're going to do this $10 billion deal type shit. Mm. But the other level is that everything is about the kids trying to get their father's attention and approval. Even when they're trying to screw him over, ultimately, they're trying to get his attention and approval. So,
is there a character similar to the younger son, Murdoch's younger son, James? Yes.
There's one, he is Rome, and he's kind of most irreverent, kind of baby boy, whatever. So, I mean, all of them are, it's really dope. It's really well acted. It's really well shot. The cinematography is dynamic. So I'm, you know, people are obsessed with it. This is the final season. We're on like episode 3, I think.
Well, so they don't let you binge. It's weekly. Okay.
It's week to week. So, I mean, I feel like if you know what it is, it's kind of like Game of Thrones meets Righteous Gemstones.
Mm.
Honestly, that's kind of what it is. It's like
that's a really, really good description.
Yeah, it's Game of Thrones meets Righteous Gemstones. The cutthroatness of Game of Thrones combined with the internal sibling fighting and the vying for dad's approval and trying to prove yourself worthy of the Righteous Gemstones. It's that. Okay. And it's dope. And it's also really funny. Everybody on this show is horrible. Be clear. There is not a single redeemable character on this fucking show. But that also is what makes it kind of fascinating to watch.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. I want to say peace to J. Cole, who I watched the Dreamville Festival online. It was on Amazon. Amazon Prime. Really well done. Really well done. Obviously, you know, really good, a lot of good performances. Seemed like just tight, no drama, no beef. I think he's also smart to do his festival in April because he's not competing with the bigger ones. Yeah, he's not competing with, you know, the Coachellas and the, you know, the whatevers are coming in the summer. And it looked like I think it's the first or second one.
I think it's the second one since they've been back. But I was reading, Ibrahim, which is J. Cole's
partner,
mm-hmm. and like best friend and all of that. Ibe was, I want to say he was in like Polestar's top whatever. Polestar was the touring magazine for those who don't know. He was in like Polestar's top whatever for the last year. But he was talking about the changes that have come because one thing that all artists are going through this year is that touring is more expensive.
Wild expensive.
It's wild expensive. Also, you know, like they've had to book stuff further out because supplies are mm-hmm. a little more scarce. Shipping is cost more. Like everything costs more, mm-hmm. which is part of the reason that ticket costs are going up. Aside from the egregious fees and stuff like that, part of the reason that costs are going up is because the tours are more expensive and the productions are more expensive because they have to put on better productions because there's so much shit for fans mm-hmm. to shoot from. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure it's worth the money, right? But he was just talking about like how he's had to get like an extra bus and split the crew up in case of COVID. And you know what I mean? Like just all the logistics. And for me, I met Cole and Ibe when they first got their deal. And to watch how they've grown.
Yeah, it's crazy. They got a full-on corporation conglomerate going.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, their drum is dope. And that Pharrell's Something in the Water is coming. I don't know if he's...
They're coming back. They need to take that back to Virginia.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got... If he has... I would assume he has a streaming deal somewhere, but I don't know where it'll be. But, I mean...
Amazon's kind of got the market locked on
the streaming stuff. So, maybe Pharrell's will be on that, too. Because at this point, everybody can... You know, you kind of have to give people the option to watch
exactly
your festival. You can't be like, you know, so removed. But again, it was good. It did a good job. It looked great. Everybody seemed very happy. It was dope. I enjoyed that a lot. I wanted to also mention, you can just a little ill, but the cat that owned Cash App Murder.
Oh yeah, founder of Cash App.
Yeah, the founder of Cash App, and he had, I think he sold Cash App and started a new app called Square.
Square's not new. I think he just
Or did he buy Square?
He might have bought Square. Square's not new because the what's your name from Twitter was one of the was one of the creators of Square.
Jack.
Jack, yeah. So Square's not new.
Okay, it's, maybe he bought Square, bought a majority share in Square.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of
Square first bought of all, Tidal, I think.
Did
yeah.
they?
Yeah, Square bought Tidal.
So apparently he was, you know, walking around. He lived in San Francisco, where a lot of them live, in you know, in the San Francisco and Silicon Valley area. And he was walking. And this is the story. He was walking to San Francisco. Some, you know, thug, for lack of a better term, walks up and just stabs him. Now, I saw yesterday, which was really crazy, on MSNBC. They got the footage of him dying. Like, he's stabbed already. Like, you don't see him get stabbed.
Maybe, but he wasn't targeted because of who he was, right? He just got...
See, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's real
great.
That's what they're trying to say. So he's actually... He's staggering around, and he goes to a... Looks like an office building. He's trying to get in. He's trying to push the thing, and then he just kind of falls on the ground. It was crazy. I couldn't believe NBC actually showed that.
That's wild.
It was wild. So, but there's a lot of conspiracy theories behind that. And, bro, I know you're our financial advisor for the podcast. So I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories around, because the United States government, for one, just started a thing called FedGov, which is basically the government's version of Cash App.
Cash App, yeah.
And they're saying, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that they wanted to get him out of the paint because they wanted to take over the money transfer business.
But it's,
you know,
not his company anymore.
I was going to say, like, okay.
He was about to buy NBC. That's what that is.
Yeah, he's about to buy a Cosby show.
So I
know these are conspiracy theories.
RIP to this man, but there's far too many people in this world that goes straight to this wild conspiracy shit in extreme way.
Bob Lee is his name, by the way. I just wanted to say that.
He doesn't own Cash App anymore, right? Like, this has been a function of transactions for several years at this point, right? Like, this is not new shit that he hasn't gone to market yet, and the government feels like they need
stopped it before he, you know.
So honestly, I think you niggas are dumb. I think you niggas are absolutely stupid. And I think a lot of you niggas still read with your finger under the word. Like, that's what I think about a lot of this shit, because it's not even like there's some shit where it's like, okay, I don't agree, but I could see your angle. But like, every single time this happens,
conspiracy. Niggas been watching too many movies. Watch Enemy of the State too much.
Sometimes motherfuckers just get murdered.
And just let me just say, not to cut you off, brother. Please hold your thought, because I want you to finish. For those who don't know, because of homelessness, because of drugs, because of probably the pandemic, the crime in San Francisco is off of the charts right now. Like, they're robbing people left and right. They're breaking into cars left and right. There's like, San Francisco is like very dangerous because they have a huge homeless population. So it could have just been wrong place, wrong time, like you said. But please finish, bro. Please continue.
I mean, that was pretty much what I was going to say. Like, we, you know, I think it's Occam's razor. Like, sometimes, like, the most obvious, you know, explanation is kind of what it is sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I understand that we live in this world, man, where people feel, we feel like we have less and less sort of power and authority over the things that happen in our lives. And so, you know, we resort to these sorts of, going to these conspiracies gives us some measure of power in our story, like that we know something that no one else knows. And like, sometimes it just ain't that.
Yeah, sometimes, like, it is just some random shit.
Yeah, sometimes.
The thing is about it is, like, the more obvious the answer, the more people tend to dig for
some other shit,
more nefarious shit. You know what I'm saying?
And it could have been, but there are I can say this with some level of assurance that there are several ways that the government can absolutely come in and take your shit and even
kill you on the street, with
far less ramifications than what it is to have someone stabbed in the middle of a fucking
and just staggering around in the middle of the street.
Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a heart attack, like a lot of them.
Exactly.
Or you fall from a window.
Yeah. Right. Or there's a home invasion. Speaking of which, as a quick segue, if y'all ain't watched Night Agent, it's excellent.
I haven't watched it yet.
I watched Night Agent. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. They have DB Woodside is in there. I keep calling him. And I've been calling nigga Melvin since the kid. And it has a full
But everything he plays, he's Melvin. I swear for God. Like, this nigga's so Melvin.
This was nigga Melvin. Oh, Melvin in this movie?
This was Melvin as a secret service. I was like, look at Melvin being a Secret Service agent.
Melvin in this movie.
Come on, Blue. Come on, Blue.
Yeah, so it's just kind of you know wild. I mean, this cat got murderous feet. But again, like I said, the crime in Frisco is bonkers right now. So it's
I didn't read the details, but what I understand, like, it was some really really weird ass hour.
Yeah, it was really late at night. Yeah, it was late.
Yeah, and like, you know, guys, like things happen in the street. Like, I really don't know what to tell you sometimes. Like, I know. Yeah. A lot of our crime stats tell us that, you know, we're safer and we are much safer than we were. That doesn't mean that there is no
shit.
But shit still be happening. Yeah. Should still be happening.
We're safe.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Before we jump too far ahead, because I'm going to forget it, I wanted to just give a shout. And I know I'm skipping all over the place. We're not necessarily on our TV segment. But I just want to give a shout to the J.R. Smith doc on Prime.
Oh, it's good
series. It's very good. And I still gotta watch the final episode. It's 4 episodes. Executive produced by LeBron James and Spring Hill, which they're doing really dope content. Because I also House Party remake.
Is it good?
Also Spring Hill. I'm not gonna say it's good. Look at Sean's face. I'm not gonna say it's good, but it's not bad. Because
it's not terrible.
The Hudlin brothers are involved.
Oh, okay.
It's produced by LeBron. And it's a good, first of all, I got to remember that it's not for us. You got to go into it remembering this is not for us.
This is for this generation. Yeah.
It's like for Gen Z. You know what I'm saying? It's not even for the millennials, it's for Gen Z. But there are really good recalls to the original. And the way they did this one was cute. It took me a minute to get into it. It feels a little bit like Friday meets House Party. Cause it's in LA, but it's, and there's a getting fired on your day off element to it, but it's cute. I wasn't mad at it. And Kid Cudi is in it. And Kid Cudi is a fucking standout breakout star. Hey Trav, happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
my dude. Oh wait, y'all are mute.
How's everybody doing?
We good.
You good, man. How you feeling?
Special guest star.
Whole family on the podcast.
We love it.
This is a family podcast. It is Easter Sunday, so you know.
How was your boom boom room? You enjoyed your boom boom room?
Yeah. I got to be the old man in the middle telling all the stories and people.
Oh, you was holding court? Oh man.
Love you.
You one step to unk level.
I was laughing. I mean, I hope they weren't just being courteous with laughing at my jokes, but I felt real good. All right, y'all.
But going back to the J.R. Smith joint, it's good, and what I appreciate about it is, like, because it's about his, it's about obviously him going to A&T, going back to get his degree, and qualifying for the golf team.
Yeah,
but it also takes time to go into the stories of all his team members, and to actually delve a little bit into the importance of HBCUs and to talk about the lack of funding compared to some other places. Like, you know what I mean? It's not just like, we just gonna follow JR around. Like, it gives you like a whole picture. They get some footage from homecoming. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like,
okay.
It's dope.
Okay. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Marcus Samuelson. Saw him Friday night, went to his restaurant. He opened up a restaurant here in Atlanta called Marcus Bar and Grill. Great location. He's like literally walking distance on the up the block from Slutty Vegan in Edgewood. Beautiful place, you know, open, airy, bright, you know, the open kitchen, you know, set up so you can kind of see them cooking and stuff. Of course, Marcus, you know, took care of me and, you know, we sat down, we talked for a long time because I haven't physically seen him since I left New York. So, you know, but we do obviously stay in touch. So it was just good to see him. Always love what he's doing. I love talking to him and kicking it with him. And we, you know, talk some shit, you know, told some lies, you know, told some great stories. I brought my little bro, Spree Wilson, with me. And I didn't tell him. I just said, yo, my man opened up a restaurant. So when he came in, he was like, you know him? I was like, yeah, it's my man. He's like, I got his book. It was good. It was good to see him. I just wanted to give him a quick shout. And I want to give a shout out to segue into what you just said, Nye, about HBCUs and all the culture of that. I want to give a quick shout out to Jermaine Dupri, who is executive producing the Freaknik documentary, which will be on Hulu sometime soon. I don't think there's a date yet.
Yeah, but there's not a date. It doesn't
matter. But they're ramping it up already, yeah, with the marketing. They're talking about it now, and people is nervous. People's like, shit, I ain't in it.
That's what I was about to say. I'm happy that they're doing this because for those who weren't of age during the Freaknik years, or for those who weren't at the early Freakniks, there's a misconception about Freaknik. Freaknik at the end was like BET Uncut Live. Freaknik in the early years, like until, I want to say 94 was maybe the last good year, because in 95 it started kind of getting infiltrated by people from all over the country.
Exactly.
And that's when the police started changing the traffic patterns. And then in 96 with the Olympics, they really weren't trying to fuck with none of that shit. So, but until then, it really was like, somebody called it like an Atlanta-wide block party. Like you could really just drive up and down Peachtree all mm-hmm. day. And how it was like, because the thing you have to remember about Freaknik is that, yes, it was called Freaknik, but it was started by AUC students. So it started by college students.
Well, that's how all this stuff was started by.
Yeah, it wasn't sponsored by Magic Picnic. Some fans, so it's like, it was really a good ass. All my pictures from Freaknik, save maybe two, are family friendly. And the only reason those two aren't are just because, like, niggas is acting up. But it's not because my titties is out and no crazy shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not because of compromising situations. But it's like, it was a good ass, wholesome ass, black ass time. That's it. Like, it was.
But you know what's interesting is that like you said, in that area, there was Freaknik, there was the Greek Picnik in Philly, there was a Kappa Beach Party in Galveston, Texas, which was, you know, Texas Southern and Crazy and all them. Yeah, Pin Relays. There were several events.
Black Bike Week.
Several events that were black college driven.
Yeah.
Around the kind of, you know, southeastern part of the country. Yeah, all that stuff. And people would like really go out and enjoy themselves. Yeah, I mean, you know, it might be a little freaky stuff. But like for the most part, people, you know, go out and enjoy themselves, have a good time. It's very interesting that all that stuff is gone.
Yeah. It's all gone. And also you can't control it the way you used to be able to, because with social media, you can't keep a pocket like that anymore, you know?
Yeah, because you said it gets infiltrated. Like, right. People are like, well, I'm going next year.
I also think the growth of nightlife and everything has messed it up. Because I will say, even when with the CIAA, the CIAA tournament when it was in Charlotte, I would go down there because my friends from school from Carolina, you know, a lot of them lived in the area and it was always close to mom's birthday. So I would either hit South Carolina and go to Charlotte or hit Charlotte and go to South Carolina. But the last year I went was the year that, like, Drake was hosting something. And Puff was hosting something.
So it turns into some other shit. BT is there and all that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm good. The last year I went to Bike Week, Rough Riders was down there shooting a video. I'm like, I can see the niggas in New York. I'm not coming. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like, as soon as the outside element comes in,
it tears it up.
Ultimately, you want something to get to, like, a kind of tipping point where it becomes, like, something that everybody wants to come to, but that's when it changes.
That's when it just it gets commercialized.
Coming in from other places, and the club night started popping
off.
Yeah,
and the hostings and this and that.
But people were coming in with their own version of, like, Freaknik is a bunch of hoes outside. We're going to do whatever. And that turned it into like a Luke weekend. You know what I'm saying? And that's what people think when they think Freaknik. And it wasn't that. It was that for like 2 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, that's not what it was. It was, and so I'm hoping, I trust JD, obviously, because it's JD. But I'm hoping that we get the real story from, like, where it started with the AUC folks.
Yeah, how it began. Yeah. And when it got out of control. So we'll see what that's about. I wanted also to mention the very interesting and so far, in my opinion, very successful rebranding of Black China. So Black China has decided to... I hope this is legitimate.
He now goes by Angela White.
And yes, Angela White has decided to change her life. She got one of the first things she did was got kind of a reverse surgery. She got, you know, her implants and all this stuff taken out of her face and out of her body. Her
fillers and silicone dissolved.
Exactly. She changed her name, as Inka just said, She went to her original name, Angela White. And that's what she goes by. She does not go by China anymore, you know, and she got baptized. So she's, you know, given her life to the Lord. And so far, it seems to be working. You know, I hope sincerely that it's not. That is real, you know, her interviews that she's done lately, she seems, I mean, real. I mean, she seems like, yo, I went through some, you know, she got her tattoos removed, a certain tattoo removed, and she's like, basically, like, I went through some shit, and I got right to the edge and decided to pull back, and I just think this rebranding is very interesting, and I wonder if it's going to affect other girls in that type of genre.
I believe her.
I do too. Her mom is wild, though.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. I think you get to an age. First of all, I think she got, you know, the dough from after, you know, making so much money, including fans. I think it put her in a position to be able to realize that she can move how she wants to move, right? Because she had a certain amount of security. And I think you get to an age, right, where you look at your life and there are things that are for young women. And then there are things that you'd be like, okay, it's time for me to transition out of this. It has a time.
Yeah.
And China did the thing she did when she was younger because she was capitalizing off of, you know, she was getting paid off of her body, her sexuality, et cetera. That has a time limit. And she's probably also looking at her mom like, I don't want to be that bitch.
Your mom is wild.
Yeah, she's probably like, I don't want to be that person. I want to maybe get primary custody of my kids back. I want to maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, that type of stuff. So I do believe her. And she's not the first to do it. I mean, on this level, maybe. But, like, I think Kate Michelle started something. When she did her stuff and then did a show with other people reversing it. Because you're realizing... that I think Inka might have said this, or maybe somebody else. First of all, there's better and more subtle work that you can get done once you got a little more coin.
See Drea, who has amazing subtle work.
Right. And also, you know, that stuff maybe isn't healthy, and it also doesn't benefit you. You don't need it at this stage in your life. Even Kim Kardashian got a bunch of her shit.
Can't even find clothes that'll fit you besides Fashion Nova and shit, you know?
And also, you don't want to be, like, 50 looking like that. You know what I'm saying? You start to think about that, how your body ages and stuff. So I believe her. And also, like, she's in a place where she's financially set right now if she handles that money correctly. And she don't need to do that to get a lick anymore. And I think that we have to sometimes let people transition. Like, my boyfriend is very skeptical of the rebrand. But I'm like,
I'm slightly skeptical just because of how quickly the turn has been.
I get that. But I do appreciate
also. I think my prayer or my hope for her is that she heals that mother wound.
Yeah.
she has to heal that mother wound. It's too
How do you heal that mother wound? How do you heal that mother wound with Tokyo Toni acting?
It doesn't mean you heal the relationship.
It means you heal it within yourself.
That may mean just being okay to leave Toni where she at.
Yeah, I think she
and
has
seeing
to ask
how it affects how you move in your life right now and fixing that.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not necessarily having a relationship with Tokyo, because that's the last thing I think she needs.
She needs
even,
right now. Yeah. So that's very interesting. I want to No, don't say nothing, bro. No, just chill, bro.
God bless. And I mean that sincerely. I am.
It's Easter Sunday now, bro.
I was getting ready to say, I am in no position to question one's journey with the Lord, and God bless. And I will say that those of us that have been in church and kind of like even one foot in, kind of one foot out.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen those very, very extreme takes.
The newly baptized are always very extreme with it.
Yeah. It's very hard. And so this has been very public.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much is of this is documenting the journey versus putting out as a rebrand, right? Because that's two different things.
Right.
In my opinion. So but again, I sincerely say this with this is literally with all sincerity. I do not question anyone's walk and in their journey. So if this is, you know, if this is something that she's doing because she means well, and this is in no judgment if she falls, because that happens.
Yeah, we fall down.
Yeah. And so I wish her well.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, and I wanted to mention this, but I don't want to dog the person, but I feel like I want to mention this Monique special on Netflix. So
I ain't watched it yet.
Yeah, you good? You good? So Monique had a very controversial public spat with Netflix because she felt they didn't pay her what she felt she deserved, and said, you know, kind of almost tried to rally the public to go against Netflix, which was a losing battle. Then it went quiet for a while. So this Netflix special popped up about a week ago, I think. And yeah. I watched about 20 to 25 minutes of it.
And it was interesting, but there was no announce. There was no, or I didn't.
Yeah.
It just popped up.
She did a couple trailers, but it wasn't big. It wasn't like a big announcement. I feel like maybe Netflix didn't do any big announcement because, well, it's not good. The special's not good. It's like, it feels like Monique's comedy is almost dated in a way. It's like, so she curses every other word. She's yelling. It's kind of like the Def Jam-ish kind of thing. And it just feels kind of dated. Women be shopping. Literally, yeah. It just wasn't, in my opinion, I've seen, you know, talk online, it just wasn't funny. It felt like she hadn't really like written it out properly. Right. It's like kind of like, it just kind of scattershot.
Have you seen S'mores special?
No, but I heard that's good.
It is. Well, I bring it up. I thought it was good. There were a couple of cringy moments where she came like right to the edge and I felt like she pulled it back. But I bring her up because I felt like S'more was a good example of how that BET Def Jam era comic can grow.
Mm.
And like not necessarily still be in the same style, right? And energy as they were initially, but not everything just be about, I mean, there was a lot of sex jokes in there, but she was also talking about like, one of her jokes was about how her doctor died. And she like, if the nigga that's supposed to keep you alive dies, what the hell, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what that mean for me?
Yeah, talking about aging, talking about, you know, Black people, how we handle the pandemic, you know, so there was a lot of very relevant stuff in there that had to do with getting older and a different.
See, there was none of that in Monique's. There was none of that in Monique's. It was just her yelling and cursing and, you know, acting crazy on stage. So I didn't enjoy it, but God, like Bruce says, God bless her, you know? That's her walk.
I got to about the six, seven minute mark.
You checked
and,
out.
Yeah. I could not, I couldn't move forward with it.
Yeah.
I like Monique. Like I do. Like I like, mm-hmm. she seems like she's a talented. really
She's very talented.
And she seems like a person that really sort of like walks her walk, right? Like this doesn't seem like a person that's just kind of like for fluff and shit like that. She seems like a really cool person. And I really do wish the best for her. But this special just did not grab me. Like, dude, and I legitimately gave it like 6 minutes of my attention. Mm-hmm. I was not doing other shit while it was on in the background.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't, like you said, the yelling, the cursing, and again, like clearly, you know, cursing does not bother us.
Yeah. But it's just kind of like, damn.
There is a point where it's like,
damn.
You know, it was given. You ever see like a kid that's just learning how to curse?
Exactly. And like
all the curses in one sentence.
Like, you wildin'.
Yo, it was just a lot. It was.
Yeah.
We say somebody curse a lot.
She's cursing
on this podcast.
And I think too, I don't know. I know that she had done some shows, but I don't know. And I don't know where she is in terms of maybe even working those muscles out. But we've talked about
it. Felt like that. It felt like she hadn't been out there like long enough to work the muscles out.
And a part of that workout is when you are around the other comedians. If you don't get along with anyone, like if you don't really like fuck with anyone, like it does put you in a little bit of this bubble in terms of being able to sort of work out material and bounce things around and kind of have these ideas.
To your point, in my opinion, as far as stand-up comedy, Monique was funniest when she did Queens of Comedy because she was around those other women.
Right. Iron sharp as iron.
And they were just bouncing off each other. You know, that was her funniest, you know, but I just wanted to mention that.
Where did they tape this special?
Atlanta. It was in Atlanta.
Y'all feel like she, and this is really a Sean question more than anything, do you feel like she taped it, packaged it, and then sold it? I feel like that's what this was rather than Netflix paying for the special for her to do it.
I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think that that's the case because if they were able to package this, shoot this, package it, and sell it, I think they would have been done that. And I don't know that Netflix would have been their first choice to go to, right? Like sort of
with the beef and all that. Yeah.
I think that they wanted to, and again, I don't know. So I am completely in the words of my man Jeff Schlegg.
Right.
It looks to me as though Netflix did come around and they gave them a budget in which they were able to, get backline production to shoot a show.
We ain't gonna promote this shit, but here.
Well, I think that
although they do have it on the home carousel, so that's
yeah. I was gonna say I think that they did kind of like the promoting of this in any way that they've done promotion on most of their other stuff. I don't think it was any more elevated, but I also don't think it was downgraded anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that you do the announcement. There was a lot of energy about her issues with Netflix. A lot of people came in and they came to her defense and they talked about the things that, she was deserving of. And, there was no real bite outside of Netflix, right? So really, it seemed to me like it was a situation of Netflix basically negotiating against themselves.
Yeah, Netflix a bust. Exactly.
Because Netflix had become... It had become like it was basically tantamount to what we would call FedEx for overnight. Like we mean to say overnight the package, but we say FedEx.
FedEx,
synonymous with streaming. And so it was like, you go to Netflix, they're giving out money. And then when you didn't get that money, especially what you felt like you deserved, it kind of rolled into this thing. And I just find it very interesting that with all of the talk about this, that there's been, it seems to be like there's a gag on whatever that settlement was.
Yeah.
Like no one has been, you know, no one has said what the settlement was except
Nobody knows. Nobody knows they what, very, the, what they the bread very, they got.
And you know, listen, that's their business to disclose or not disclose, whatever, you know, and that's both parties. But I think that when you get into very public spats and you talk about money very publicly, mm-hmm. and you lay money out on the line very publicly, and you use that in order to garner the goodwill of people, I think, you know, maybe you do deserve some level of explanation to having had those people all riled up.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. You know, who are me?
Who is we?
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, she got what she got the platform. They put it on there. This was not a cheap rundown special. They clearly had top line production there. Great lighting. Her hair and makeup was great. She looked phenomenal.
She looked good. Yeah, she looked good.
She looked great. And she was in her element. She walked her walk her way. Now, how people receive that is like any other comedy special. Some people will like it. Some people that, you know, some people won't like it. I mean, that's just, part and part. Look, we talked about Chris Rock. And niggas was like, I wish I had two more hands to give, more thumbs down.
Right. Like,
niggas wasn't really feeling it. It wasn't, you know, and I wasn't necessarily in that group, but I understood why they might have felt that way. It wasn't his best work. So listen, sometimes you fucking hit a grand slam and sometimes you just break out.
And you keep moving. Couple of TV things. Love and Marriage Huntsville came back last night. I've actually peeped it.
When do they stop taping?
I don't think they do. So Destiny is gone. She's not on the show. Stormy has become a full-time cast member, her and her husband. God bless Kimmy. She is in remission and cancer-free. That's really great news. Sheree made an appearance via FaceTime. Yep. Sheree made an appearance on the show. So there was that. It was a lot of things going on in this first episode. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I just wanted to mention that Bell Collective comes back in May. Bell Collective comes back in May.
Yeah.
Own is like, you're going to get all this. Like, y'all going to get you. We not stop. And they puff. We don't stop. You gonna get all this shit all summer long. Gotta mention Queens R&B Mon Ami Entertainment got a smash hit on their hands. Tonight is the last episode of the series
on Resurrection Sunday. Lord have
mercy. Resurrection
I'm so
Sunday.
Excited.
I don't know if you can say, is there going to be a reunion? If you know, you don't have to say nothing. He ain't say nothing. So I don't know. But the
nobody has stopped talking about this between episodes, which I think is fantastic.
I hit bro in a group chat saying, y'all done fed the bloggers dinners for the past 6 weeks.
For sure. But finding out on Watch What Happens Live that gospel deal was supposed to be both sisters.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Blew my mind. I didn't even know what to say. I was like, that is.
And what about the text messages?
The text messages. Here's the thing. Jeez. I know Sean can't probably talk about this.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, bro's out of this. He can't say my
name. But between the last two, last week, was it last week? I think the beginning of last week, Tamika came out with more receipts, right? Between the last, which was timely because then we got to the episode where we actually saw them confront Tasha about the kicks from the promoters, right? Tasha we
printed out text messages.
Tasha taped this tearful ass apology. I don't even know if she actually apologized to her sister. And I'm like, please don't apologize now. Like, you done double, triple, quadruple, quintuple down, calling your sister all kind of lies and whatnot, and all of this, acting like you don't know anything that's going on with anything. Following along behind your brother. Here's what I think. Escape is never going to perform as four again. I don't see how it ever happened.
I can't see Tasha coming back.
Yeah, they've already announced.
Not without a divorce.
Yeah, they've already announced the tour as three, right? But what I do want to say, with, I don't know if we, I can't remember if we talked about this last time we taped, Escape desperately, like, I get that Candy is very business oriented, right? I meant to bring this up a couple of, I get that Candy is very much about her business. She's at a certain positioning, you know, she's executive producing plays, she's starring in Chicago, she got all of this.
She's a real businesswoman, you know what I'm saying?
But sitting in that room at the point of offer for them to do this one-off show, co-headlining and being like, well, who's going to get paid more? Who's going to be like, girl, that was not the time. That energy came across crazy. But this is also why it is so important for artists to have representation, because that's manager.
You should, exactly. I was about to say, where's the manager?
They didn't have it, or they had managers that they didn't like. Tasha and Rocky's people, right? But it's like, that should have been a manager conversation. Talent should never negotiations with other talent. That's how relationships get ruined. And now SWV has been doing press all week, and everybody's asking them about if they can get over their drama with Escape, and they all like, because they feel disrespected.
And SWV doesn't need it. Like, they tour constantly and they're making money, so they don't need to be better.
Like, I sold 30 million albums. You sold 7. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? And it's like, and I am very much of the mind that, like, Escape ain't no also run group, which the internet tries to act like they are, but they did not sell 30 million albums.
Also, understanding was not bigger than we.
That was the wildest shit. We gonna close with understanding instead of week. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is it crack? Like, I love Escape. I ride for Escape, but that was crazy. I was literally
at a wedding where the sound system went out and everybody in the wedding serenaded the bride and groom every word, every ad lib, all the breakdowns.
We did it at my friend's reception. Okay. Like, everybody singing around. As a matter of fact, we posted it. And Lee reposted it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Week is the single. Week is the black sing along song.
I don't know the words to understanding.
Yeah, I just know the chorus. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'd be. But you know, again, Mon Ami got to smash it on their hands. No, not surprising. Y'all professionals now. Y'all know what you're doing. That TV.
Shout out to the COO.
You say what you want, but y'all know that TV here.
Let me tell you what I know. What I know is that Tasha Scott and Rocky did not think this was the way this show was going to go. They thought they had a built-in rollout for this gospel album, Child.
And the mother. Lord. The mother didn't think it was going to be. The mother thought it was going to be one way and it was the other.
Because when you, in the words of Monique, since we just brought her up, when you do clownery, as Sean has always said, you cannot beat the cameras. You cannot beat the cameras. Sean has always said,
Heather B, they use what you gave them.
Exactly. We just showing you what you did. So yeah, great. And again, we'll be talking about the finale next week. I wanted to mention just a couple of docs that I watched in the past couple of weeks that I really enjoy. One was called Aftershock, really interesting documentary. I didn't even remember this. It was a huge earthquake at Mount Everest about two, three years ago. And there were people on expedition to climb Mount Everest, and they filmed. In Kathmandu, basically got leveled, and these smaller towns got leveled, and it was all this infighting because people wanted to get off the mountain and all this stuff. It's on Netflix. It's very interesting. There's a Waco, Texas documentary on Netflix as well, which is crazy because they have all the footage about with David Koresh and how the government was involved, and they burned the thing down and killed all these people. That was really interesting. I gotta mention Beef. I'm not finished yet, but Beef on Netflix is a series about these two people who have a road rage incident, and haven't watched to the end. I'm about to go on episode 4, but it's about a bunch of shit that happens, and it's also about their kind of parallel lives, like why the road rage kind of happened in that instance, because both of them are very unhappy with their lives, and they kind of collide in front of what's kind of like a home.
Are you talking about Beef?
You're talking about Beef.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about Beef is that Ali Wong, who plays the woman,
love her.
She her what am I trying to say? Her role was originally for a middle-aged white man.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that. Okay.
I just read that this morning in an article. I was like, yo, so now I'm only on like episode one, but I'm going to keep watching that.
Because it goes all over the place. Yeah, it goes where you think it's going to go.
That's right. The thing. So did you finish it yet, Jeff, or no?
No, I'm at episode four.
Okay, so let me tell you. As you go along, every time I thought this shit has got as crazy as it was going to get, all the way up until literally the last episode, it kept taking me in directions that I did not expect. Until you really don't know how this is going to end
all.
Until the last scene of the last episode. I cannot remember the last time a season of TV took me on a ride like that. And I was really like, yo, what were they even talking about in the writer's room?
Yeah.
How did they even come up with something? Like, it's so...
It's kind of genius crazy. In its own way.
It is genius because, I mean, the bigger statement about how people project their own unhappiness onto other people, like, because the both of them, they keep escalating shit with each other because they're mad about other shit in their lives.
Yeah, they're mad about their lives.
They're mad about their separate lives. They're mad about things. So, like, something will happen to one of them, and they'll just target the other one and take it a step further, and it's and it's wild to watch how this, and there's a couple times where each of them even tries to fall back. And I will say there's a scene coming up, because this isn't really a spoiler, where the two of them are in the parking lot trying to talk, and the same parking lot where the initial conflict happened. And a person comes by and honks at them, like, how long you gonna be there? And they both jump out the window, like, what you want? What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? You know, like, both of them immediately, like, you said something, say it again, motherfucker. You know, like, immediately. And neither one of them look at each other like, oh, shit, we're the problem. You know, but that was interesting. Like, they both jump out immediately ready to beef and fight this person who's honking at them.
So, also, what they did interesting in this, from what I've seen so far, they really subtly but clearly talk about some Asian issues.
Yes, yes.
But it's not beating you over the head, because Ali Wong's husband is Japanese.
Right.
And Ali Wong is Chinese. I don't know if people know, but the Chinese and the Japanese hate each other.
Yeah, it's a dynamic.
It's a, and then the other cast, Stephen Yung, his family's Korean. And it's
first of all, and not to cut you off, one of the things I was noticing, I was like, yo, Koreans in LA are mad black.
Mad black.
Yo, it was a lot of black.
Mad black. Yeah. Yeah. So there's just a lot of subtle Asian stuff that's very interesting. And they've tackled the character of the white, air quotes, liberal very interestingly. The white lady.
Yeah, the white.
Because she's crazy racist, but like, it's just, and then she's really using Ali Wong and using people, with her money. It's a lot of layers to beef. It's very, like I was just saying in our group chat, now I was just saying, like, the trailer is so misleading.
Yeah,
because you just think it's about two people fighting because of cars. It's like, this is not like that at all, actually.
But I don't know if you could make a trailer that would accurately depict
it'd be hard.
It goes in so many, again, it goes like there's 10 episodes. Every fucking episode I was like, yo, there was a what the fuck or oh shit moment, and again, until the end. And that is very hard. It's very hard to keep surprising people in a way where you're not like, get the fuck out of here. I mean, granted, we get to a point of complete surrealism in here,
but still
it seems like but it still feels like a natural, trajectory.
How it keeps going there.
Exactly.
So if y'all watch Beef, tap in, and we might as well do this now since we're talking TV. Wait, quick sidebar. I watched the movie Tar. If you haven't watched the movie Tar with Kate, it was Oscar nominated with Kate Blanchett.
All right.
It's fucking amazing, yo!
Is this the one where she's the conductor?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
on my list.
Incredible. Like, she should have won the Oscar first. And it's the way it's shot, because all these long shots. Like, it's a movie of long shots. It's not like quick. Tar is incredible. I just wanted to say that. But I wanted to mention, since we're on TV, we might as well go on and finish it. Let's talk about Love is Blind.
I just want to congratulate Bartiz from last season. He just had a little baby. Even though he's been on two reality shows in 9 months.
Everybody is trying to do the math on every single person.
She was pregnant the whole time. It's incredible.
So I don't know the numbers, you know, and I don't know if we'll ever see the numbers, but from the chatter online, I would assume this might be the highest rated season.
I don't know if this is the highest rated. The chatter, here's what happened. The chatter for season two was a lot. Season three, though, was not. Season three was very, very mid. Mm. And there was more conversations about season three post-series.
Okay.
And while the series was running. But but two was heavy with the chatter. This one definitely is the messiest season.
Messy.
Yes, Lord.
Fuck.
Yeah, like, this season isn't. This is like, man, there's like all these. This, well, I won't say every couple because Brett and Tiffany are
they the warm black me from the inside out. Yes. Every time they're on
Brett
the
and Tiffany don't curl
them
all the way over for me.
Oh, come on now! Don't do that! Don't do that!
Let me tell you why. I'll never see them crack no jokes. I'll never see them be silly with each other. I believe they like each other. I do not see chemistry. I don't see chemistry at all. They do not seem comfortable with each other. To me, they still feel like first dates. And I'm just like, I believe they like each other. I believe they have a mutual respect for each other. I do not believe there's no flames burning. And maybe that's okay, because sometimes chemistry can be overrated, but I just do not. I don't know. I don't.
You know who I loved? I loved Brett's father. Oh my
God. I know Brett's
Mr. Herbert. Brett's father's name was Herbert.
He definitely had a big old belly.
And Mr. Herbert ain't been on a plane in 25 years.
Mr. Herbert don't go nowhere. Right. He ain't going nowhere. So Mr. Herbert came.
Got on a plane for this.
He did all that black. He was like, you know, the thing about how would you pay this guy to be with you, Brett?
The thing about men folk, you know, the thing about men folk,
the man said men folk, because us men folk, we don't like to show our feelings, you know. So
I love it.
You know, but I approve of this here now, y'all don't be
and when
all right,
he was
you know?
Talking about her family, he was like, I look forward to meeting them.
I look forward to meeting them now, because I tell you, Tiffany, Mr. Herbert, he's only in that one episode, but he was awesome.
I mean, I'm sure we'll see him in the wedding episode too.
And what threw me off is that Brett, he's clearly a Southern man, right?
Yeah.
And Brett don't have a Southern accent. I was like, oh, he's a Southern guy. I didn't know.
Brett talked about how he grew up, you know, with, you know, economic
grew up
with money. And I think Brett, especially living
in Portland,
Seattle, he's a sneaker designer. Like,
yeah, for Nike,
has actually worked to kind of separate himself from his upbringing.
I believe that.
Honest with you,
because when I saw his dad, that was not what I was expecting.
And his brother, who looked dead like an Angus.
Oh my God!
I'd be like, he's gonna be nobody but Angus.
He's nothing but Angus with that big afro and beard.
He look like a lion.
So let's talk about real quick. Let's just talk about Kwame and Chelsea.
Here's my thing with Kwame and Chelsea.
Okay, first of all,
let's just give a little background. Kwame is a Ghanaian immigrant. Yeah, immigrant. He came here when he was 8 years old.
Soccer player for whom no one can find any stats. But please continue.
Right.
He has an MBA. He lives in Portland, Oregon. Works in tech. Yes.
So the fact that he lives in Portland, Oregon, and works in tech already should tell you who Kwame's people are.
But that's the thing. Where are his people?
The white boys showed up for the wedding.
One of them dudes was from the show.
No. Just for the tuxedo fitting. The guys who showed up for the actual wedding were like his friends. There's one black boy, and then his brother and sister.
His sister
earlier in the game.
Yeah,
His sister much is earlier. White. So here's the thing with Kwame and Chelsea. Kwame was in the pods. Crying over a whole nother white woman, right?
Right, but no. Be clear.
Sobbing.
He was bawling.
Sobbing.
Yeah, he wasn't just tearing up.
She was going to pick somebody
in
else.
His arms.
With his head down in his arms. Because he was in disarray. He was going to pick somebody else, right? And every time he is in the same room with this woman, he is in her face, right?
He tried to put his hair back like a white person, like
30-minute conversations at the pool.
While your air quotes fiance is like right across the room,
right there, shooting daggers at your ass. Chelsea, though, I'm not caping for Chelsea either, because Chelsea gives me Boiler Bunny. And I think Chelsea talks about how she used to FaceTime her friends during dinner every night and how hard it was to live alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Chelsea had a vision board, and like whomever was going to ask her to marry her, ask her to marry him, would fit. So it happened to be Kwame. She happened to look out because he has a dope body and shit like that, but it could have been anybody. Like, and
every cringy ass photo shoot.
Yo, and she was like, I always wanted to do this. And that's the thing. She, when the cameras are on, because Kwame be trying to talk to her about some real issues that they're having, and she just goes straight to, we're about to get married. We're going to say yes. I've never felt about you. Like, she's so aware of the cameras. She is going, she is very much about what's the optics of this. She wants them to look like this perfect couple. And I can tell she's very conscious of that shit. She ain't trying to have no arguments on camera.
No
she
beef,
ain't
trying to yeah.
No, nothing on camera. And I really think that she believed, like, she just put him in there, like, you're going to be the doggy daddy. And I want this many kids. And I
and
want
we're going to live in Seattle.
And she's not really
the
giving
the fact that the mom, like when she got Kwame one-on-one, Chelsea's mom asked about the dog.
Yeah,
and nothing else.
That was crazy. That was
like,
crazy.
That he really was just at Groominster. But I feel like, as much as I'm not caping for Kwame either, she's really not giving any ear to his thing of like, I'm on your turf. Like, yes, we live in neutral housing for the sake of this show, but I'm still in your city. I'm on your turf with your goddamn dog, and everything's about what you want and what you want out of this marriage. I don't hear her asking him anything about how he wants things to be. She's talking about compromise. He feels like he's the only one compromising. I believe both these idiots are going to say yes. I do not believe
this. I think Kwame going to bail. I think Kwame gonna bail. I think he's gonna bail.
I feel like they might say yes, but by the time we get to the reunion, which is going to be live next Sunday.
Yeah, live.
Mm-hmm. I believe by the time we get to the reunion, I think they might say yes, but by the time we get to the reunion, they may have split. But she's nuts.
Let's talk about Micah and Paul.
Micah and Paul might actually be
they're gonna say yes in this experiment
so far, which is a scary prospect, but Paul is kind
I think
of
we need Micah to examine. I think we need to examine Shelby and Micah's relationship.
Yeah, I think Micah is. I think Micah is much better a person when she's away from her friends.
1,000%
Like when her friends are the mean girl crew, and they are this one girl Shelby is terrible.
She looks like a foot. So like, where does she even get off?
And I think that Micah seeing Irina. For real, like how mm-hmm. I was looking at Paul and realizing like she was being associated with that made her step back and look at herself. Because I even look at early in the show, the first time Shelby meets Paul, slurry drunk. She's so rude, right?
Rude.
Like, I'm gonna have something nasty to say. And Paul's like, well, I'm not marrying you, so I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't really care.
And Micah's mad at Paul, not at Shelby, right?
Yeah.
So, but then when they get to the bachelorette shit, Shelby gets on her bullshit again, and Micah's like, no, but I love him. He's a dope dude. You don't know him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, by then she's realized, like, let me stand up for this mother. Because now Shelby, like, you can't be serious.
Because Shelby's going in on Paul, and she don't even know him. Like, she's met him once. Like, who?
And then she was definitely mad when Paul was like, I really don't care, instead of trying to kiss her ass and win her
like,
over.
I'm going to marry my wife. What you say is not like, going to deter. Like, chill out.
I
know you for 3 minutes.
Right.
Okay, let's go a little deeper, because, you know, Zach and Bliss, what are we doing?
Woo, Bliss is going to say no.
I've also seen what it is when they do like the second chance relationship, like it just doesn't work.
Bliss is going to say no because Bliss keeps bringing up the fact that as much as he's into Zach, like had the whole shit with Irina not happened, Bliss and Zach probably would have been the ones to make it, right?
Absolutely.
But Bliss has brought up several times that like she almost feels stupid going along with this because of how Zach played her.
Like when Zach told her parent, her mom about it.
Yeah, and Zach has not really, like he's addressed it, but not really addressed why he made that choice. Like, not really. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what? I respect Zach for bringing it up when he met her mother and sisters. Because a lot of niggas would have skated. He would, but he brought that shit up.
You could tell that she told him, like, you're going to have to be the one to explain it.
But I respected that he full on talked about it and, you know, was open, was honest, and he's like, basically, I fucked up and, you know, I respect it. I feel like they're going to make it, especially, you know what made me even go a little further. The way Bliss went back at her dad.
Well, I think that's just
because I think Bliss has been dealing with that for,
Bliss is calling talking to her
type that has to have the last word.
Exactly.
And I'm the man, and what I'm saying is the thing that makes sense, period. And Bliss, right. I feel like, has done a lot of work to be like, all right, these are your feelings.
Yeah.
This is why she credits like, her mom with everything that she
her mom is so
her
sweet.
Dad is
her
mom
is so
guy.
And her dad and her half siblings, like you could tell the whole energy.
Yo, old girl sat at the table with the Michael Jackson glasses on. Like, I was like, what the fuck
you
is
know,
this?
Like, that was we about to be on TV. That's what that was.
That was crazy. But even the vibe when the dad came in with the second, first of all, I didn't know they were divorced till then. Right. I was like, oh, when he came with the second wife, who basically looks like a younger version of his first wife. When he came in, there's a thing where like, you could tell he's such an iron fist. Like, the kids are, like, tight. You know what I'm saying?
And you could tell he came in expecting this to be a kiss my ring situation.
Mm-hmm.
I bet he was even mad that Zach didn't give him the head of the table. He strikes me as that dude.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
absolutely.
So he really was.
Yeah, he, like, kind of shit on him for just being a lawyer for 6 years. And I
And also, like, when he started out the gate that, you know, he doesn't fish, he doesn't golf, you could tell the dad was, like, he written him off. Already, not a man's man type shit. But I can tell Bliss's tone talking to her dad reminded me very much of my tone talking to my late father. And I was like, she is trying so hard not to pop off. Like, I can tell that anytime they talk about her life decisions, he frustrates the shit out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to hear her.
You because know? I'm sure what frustrates her, and she kind of mentioned, she's like, I'm mad smart.
Right.
I'm doing my thing. I'm 32. I'm a grown up. Yeah. I'm handling my business. I take care of myself. I've, you know, graduated college. I'm doing well. And you still treat me like shit.
Right.
Like, I don't know nothing.
And also, she's like, well, I mean, Dad, you're divorced. So.
Nigga.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really sit here as like,
you divorced, and everybody at this table is unhappy. So, what are you even talking about?
Exactly.
What are we doing right now?
I got the vibe that, you know, they didn't say this, but I definitely got the vibe that he really shitted on Bliss's mom.
I'm sure. I feel, because he feels very arrogant. And I know,
arrogant.
I know we're reading a lot into it, but them dynamics were clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Bliss's mother was so nice. I really liked her.
She was so warm.
Crying, yeah. So this is going to the depth. Let's go into the deep end now. We're going off the deep end.
I think
Jackie and Marshall.
The only reason that Zach picked Arena first was because Zach desperately wants a family. And Bliss was saying she doesn't know if her family was going to be accepting of him. She was saying this in the pods.
Right.
Now we see why. Her father wasn't accepted.
Yeah, but the mother was like, if you guys get married, I'm your mother too.
Yeah, that was a very touching moment.
Yeah, that was really, really sweet.
Yeah,
okay, last couple.
So we jumping off the deep end now. Marshall and Jackie.
We got to say Marshall and Jackie and Josh.
Yeah, and oh my God.
And Drake. And Love is Blind's answer to Drake.
Drake.
This nigga really thinks he's Drake.
Oh my God.
Listen, you talk about toxicity 103, toxicity 110, toxicity 202. This ain't even 101. This is like graduate course level toxicity. But here's the thing about Jackie. Jackie had no business going on this show.
She don't want to get married.
She doesn't want to get married. She wanted somebody, and this is why she picked Marshall. She wanted somebody who would fix her.
Yeah.
And then she realized she didn't really want to confront the things she had to confront in order to be fixed. Being in a healthy relationship.
I got the vibe in Jackie. She was like, I've been dating these, you know, and she said it, these tattooed, you know, maniacs, you know, party boy fuck niggas. And I think she did the thing was like, I'm going to go get me a nice guy.
Right. Because she said she's never known love. But here's the thing. When all you know is dysfunction, normalcy scares you. Because when you can't keep blaming other motherfuckers for shit that goes wrong, and you realize you're the problem, everybody's ready to have
that conversation
with themselves.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So then Josh comes in, and Josh is the bullshit she recognizes. She don't want healthy. She's like, we can be a mutual dysfunction, and I don't have to, because this is what it is. And I think even Jackie would admit this. I don't have to work on myself to be with Josh.
at all.
I can be on my bullshit. You can be on your bullshit. We can fuss and fight, and you're not going to make me feel bad for acting the ass because you're going to act the ass. That's mm-hmm. what she wants. She wants to still be able to be in dysfunction and pop up. Like, the girl actually literally said, I don't really do well with communicating. My actions are going to show you. And I'm like, she's like, I like that about you. Bitch, use your words.
Not a grown up.
Yeah,
she told Marshall.
The fact that she couldn't even tell Marshall, like, in a fucking text message, like, hey, I'm not even going to the, what, you know, bridal fitting.
My bridal fitting, yeah. Like,
Am I not going to go to my bridal fitting, but I'm going to go out with another man.
Right.
During that time.
Now, what I will say, Jackie put out a post that said that those things were shot out of sequence, which I believe, because she did have on different clothes and a different hairstyle when she got home. Also, but she, wherever she had been, she had still just been with Josh. She said that. And also, the coffee shop scene, the way they kissed and hugged at the end of that scene, I was like, oh, they already been kicking it by the time they shot it.
Yeah, absolutely. They never got out of contact from the pod.
Yeah, so yeah. I believe they shot it just for the sake of having it for the show, but they had definitely already been kicking it. So I don't know why mm-hmm. she's making an argument.
And Jackie's been seen out of the baseball game with Josh. Yeah,
she invited him to Chelsea's birthday party because none of the other dudes that were there fucked with him enough to have invited him to
And she definitely was not surprised when she saw him.
Right. She wasn't
That's why she wore the dress. Come on.
Exactly.
That's why she didn't want to put that jacket on because she knew it was whatever. So all of that has been in front. She's been seeing Josh the whole so there is a there was actually a screen a friend of hers who has since fallen out with her posted screen caps from a text thread in the group chat where while Jackie was saying, can y'all be at my bridal fitting this day, bachelorette this day, wedding is this day, the first thing she started with was a picture of her and Josh, like, this is my baby. So, like, before they even got to all of that, you know what I'm saying? She was like, me and Marshall got to make it to the altar contractually. Now, here's the thing about Marshall, though. People got Marshall fucked up because folks say he looked like a great value Jesse Williams. Marshall has been the realest nigga on this series in its four seasons, for real. Because
Marshall's a Libra.
Granted, because you can even tell, me and my boyfriend were talking about Brett's friends versus Marshall's friends. Marshall's friends was like some niggas with an ER on
the Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at every reaction Marshall has had, just because he hasn't been super reactive or whatever, I'm like, that's what I would have said. That's what I would have done. Even when Josh was all up in his face at the party and afterwards, he was like, what the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? You know
niggas,
what I'm saying?
Like, niggas act like he was supposed to swing on Josh at the party. It's like, I ain't gonna do that, you know? But just niggas.
He was just like giving him great rock, like, whatever, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Marshall is emotionally, he's so emotionally intelligent for a 26-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like,
He has done some work.
Yo, listen.
I am impressed. Marshall is going to have no problem finding anybody.
I'm about to say, Marshall's DMs is probably crazy right now.
Cracking. And I feel like his friends are older, but like, even when he was like, yo, Jackie ain't show up at her dress, and his boy was like, wow, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, immediately. Yeah. I was like, yes, fuck, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's go.
But, so there's two episodes left. There's a finale with all the weddings where people will say, I do or not. And then, like Nye said, there's a live reunion special coming on after that, which, you know,
next Sunday,
which is so this has been a
the only other thing. I think Kwame might say yes based on his brother and sister's reaction to Chelsea. I think my sister coming, I think it was really sweet, like, mom is crazy, but we gonna be here for her, and you know whatever, we hope.
And
that might have changed it.
Likes Chelsea.
That seemed really sweet to me. Anyway.
Yeah, so we're gonna see, but it's been a wild ride. It's been a wild
Nick
ride.
And Vanessa Lachey are the villains we didn't know we needed.
Yeah,
it's been really a happy wild, for them.
It's been a wild ride. I wanted to mention Angel Reese and the LSU women's basketball team who won the national championship last weekend, and it's been a controversial.
White people tripping over themselves,
going crazy.
The Iowa girls, like, yes. Which the Iowa girls ain't even asking for.
Not at all. I saw an interview with Caitlin Clark, who's a great player, by the way. And Angel Reese, that she said she's been playing against Caitlin Clark since high school. They know each other. Like, this is
rivalry. Yeah.
Yeah, this is rivalry.
Yeah,
this
like,
ain't
Sean
like.
Always says, like, these players have been at that level since they were like 13.
Yeah, they've been just in the like, same circles forever.
Yeah, they've been saying, yeah. She's like, I know Caitlin. And Angel was like, yo, she's dope. Like, she's, you know, they asked Angel who she thought the top players in women's college basketball. And she was like, of course, I'm going to say myself. And then she said Caitlin. Caitlin, yeah. too, and then another girl. She's like, Caitlin is dope. Like, don't get it fucked up. Like, we respect her. You right. know, we just talking shit. And if she, and Caitlin probably would have been talking shit to me if they would have won.
And Caitlin had been talking shit during the fucking
during the tournament. Exactly.
This tournament, the way people have, the way the press, the way the media has handled the LSU women's team and Dawn and the South Carolina women's team has been like, yo, you talk about your slippers showing. Like, they, it has been such a revelation of like not even realizing how both racist and sexist they're being, right?
Crazy.
Like, because these women are playing at a super high level of competitiveness, you know, and it's, and they're not being unsportsmanlike, but it really is the thing where it's like, you don't want them to do certain things because they're women, but mm-hmm. it's still sports. It's still competition. Like, this is why women's basketball is so hot right now, because they are playing at this level.
And they talking shit and blah, blah, blah.
And they, and deservedly talking shit, like, talking shit and giving you real game, not talking yep. shit and giving you some little Danny Lolly Lottie Da shit, but like mm-hmm. giving you real game. They charging niggas. They doing all, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That. And y'all got a problem with it? And it's, but you got a problem with the black girls doing it.
Exactly.
You got a problem
like Kevin Gates. It's yeah. wrong when they do it. It's wrong when I do it. It's okay when they do it.
Right. You know? And Dawn did a press conference where she was like, I hear what y'all say about my girls. We hear, I hear mm-hmm. you. I hear you. Like, you say little shit and people hear, it comes back to me.
Call them thugs. And
yeah, you call them thugs, bar fights. No, I hear you. You know, mm-hmm. that was like a warning. Like,
yeah.
Don't, this shit ain't sweet. We know, we see you.
Yep.
So yeah. I hope that people, and then like,
I think Joe Biden was bugging.
Jill was Dr. Jill.
1,000%.
Talking about they should invite the Iowa team to the White House. The losing team does not come to the White House. And if
ever.
I
won,
I promise you wouldn't be like, we need to invite LSU. I promise.
Yeah, the fucking runner up does not like, get to go to Disney World. That's the exactly. last word.
Like, this instinct to cape for white women in America is so insidious.
It's crazy. It's
so automatic. It's like the black girls beat the white girls. Oh my God, we got to console the white girls. Meanwhile, yep. white girls are fine. They're fine.
Because just like Angel said, if they would have lost, they wouldn't have gotten invited.
Yeah, nobody would have been thinking about, oh, poor Angel and them if Iowa had won. Nobody would be thinking about that. Nope. But everybody tripping over themselves to come to Iowa's defense. Again, when Iowa's fine.
They're yeah, Iowa didn't even win.
What the fuck it is.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we lost, and they better. Period.
And they better. Yeah, like, that's yeah. it. It's competition, yeah. y'all. Like, y'all gotta stop. This is
they
wild.
Got this. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah. So
shout out to whatever is the greatest edge control of all time. Yeah. Angel Reese looking immaculate at the end of the game.
With that lashes and everything on
all
during the game.
Thing intact.
All of it.
End up with a couple bro had to jump. Dan, I kind of want him to be around for this. Two politics things. Number one, Donald Trump was indicted last week.
Let's go.
Walking to the court set. The pictures came out of him sitting in the courtroom looking despondent, in my opinion.
His 270-pound ass.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And apparently he's not 6'3", he's 6'1", but he wears lifts in his shoes.
Out here lying for no reason.
For no reason. So
and Georgia coming for that, and people are saying,
"Oh, Georgia's work. Georgia's gonna be
Georgia's
worse.
Coming for that ass
because that's on tape.
Federal charges. Yeah, those are federal. They're talking about RICO.
Throwing something on the yeah, that's grill. RICO. Are you kidding?
Yeah, if the Attorney General Finney is not playing, yeah, Georgia's about to bring that heat.
Georgia's talking about RICO charges. Hey, because these
and it wasn't no riots. It wasn't no jet. Like people thought that you know." The
Magus, girl, what's her name?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Marjorie Taylor Greene learned real quick that New Yorkers don't give a fuck about Donald Trump.
None of that shit. And your man, George Santos.
Yeah, get that shit the fuck out of here.
Yeah, get that shit the fuck out of here. Marjorie Taylor Greene literally was outside for like 5 minutes before she had to go back to her car because New York was like, fuck out of here. But we'll see. I mean, it's a long process. He doesn't go back to court till December. I think they're going to probably have to gag order him because he's wilding.
He's already wilding. He immediately did the press conference as soon as he got back to Mar-a-Lago and talking about the goddamn
Alvin Bragg. And they put pictures of Alvin Bragg's children up online.
Immediately wilding the fuck. I think they had already gag ordered it. He might have already broke the gag order.
You might have.
This is why Trump can't keep attorneys. So people are saying, like, so Trump was charged on 34 counts. People are saying that this may not get him jail time, which the thing for me is, even preceding Trump's presidency, the fact that somebody finally got Donald Trump under indictment, period, mm-hmm. as a businessman, as a shady person, as a whatever, presidency aside, that is a big deal because it hasn't been done. And Trump has done shady shit for decades.
He's had 3,000 lawsuits in his life.
Never asked to indict or whatever. So there's that. Georgia, though, Georgia is going to get his ass. Mm-hmm. And they've already notified a bunch of his people that they're coming for them, too, which means that they're probably going to get somebody to flip.
Oh, yeah.
Because motherfuckers don't want to be caught up in this shit. And I think the race for the clock is to make sure that Trump can't run next year.
Yes. Yes.
So that's really what the kind of pressure that we're under is, I think, trying to make sure that he cannot be a candidate next year and somehow end up back in office.
Yeah. So we'll go see where that goes. And the last thing I wanted to mention is Tennessee. So two state representatives from Tennessee, two black representatives, one represents Nashville, one represents Memphis, both HBCU grads, by the way, one went to Fisk, one went to Howard. They were expelled from the Tennessee
gun protests.
Yeah, because they wanted to have gun protests and they wanted to try to change gun laws because literally 2 weeks ago, there was another, you know, mass shooting, a school shooting in Tennessee, and three 9-year-olds, a black janitor and two teachers were murdered.
Right.
So,
but the white Dem, who also was part of that protest, did not get expelled.
Nothing. And to her credit, she says that. She's like, I'm a 60-year-old white woman, so they gave me a pass. Like, she's like, I know what's going on here. Like, it's not that this fucked up. Like, but these two guys, I'm the name of these two Justins, they gave me some hope because the way they've handled this, they're not trying to become like, you know, social media darlings. I mean, they do use social media because they're both very young. They're both 27 years old or something like that. So both very young guys, but they're doing the work. And I think more than likely they're both going to get reinstated because what's happened is the old white guard at Tennessee and like in other states, you know, are trying to hold on to power and didn't realize the power or the
influence
of all the youth in Tennessee because all the youth is like, we don't want to die in school. Like these guys are trying to help us, and you guys, and this is black, white, Asian. This is across the board on the youth. And many of these kids who, if they can't vote, they'll be able to vote very shortly, and they're going to vote a lot of people out of office.
Yeah.
So this is backfired on them. This has turned into some other shit.
They probably didn't expect it to become even like a national lens on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. That's their names. But what did y'all think about what's going on?
I mean, I think, first of all, I think that people who are still lackadaisically looking at things that are happening in quote unquote red states versus blue states, acting like it's a red state thing only, you are delusional. You need to recognize that we are seeing national trends, that this is not red state, blue state shit anymore. And motherfuckers are actively not under the cover of night. Not under cold words, not under anything, trying to
They're not even trying to hide it.
No, not anymore. It's like, it's really like Strong Thurman got up from the dead and resurrected the Dixiecrats out this bitch. Like, it's
George Wallace type shit.
Yeah, like, it ain't, niggas ain't even, and that's the thing that amazes me is that people are still acting like it's not happening when they are not even hiding it. It ain't nothing. It's blatant. It's clear as day because now they seem like we ain't gotta hide it no more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are not paying very close attention and not just paying attention, but actively looking at what measures you can take to kind of like help regress, prevent, slow down this shit. Like, we are very close to losing a lot. And I think that people are still kind of in denial about mm-hmm. how far this country can go backwards because we do not have a liberal Supreme Court, which means that before, for the last 50 years, right? Literally for the last 50 years, there's only been so far you could expect certain laws to go before you knew they'd get shot down.
Yeah.
It was the safeguard. That safeguard is gone for the first time in literally 50 years, right? So it is very possible that shit is going to go back to 50 years ago, you know? Yeah. Like that. And I think that people really haven't wrapped their minds all the way around what that means. So that's my first thing, because we got motherfuckers, we got this, the expulsion, we got your man DeSantis down in Florida wilding the fuck out.
Wilding.
And also passing measures that is going to, that could easily remove any affinity studies, African American studies, Jewish studies, Asian studies, Latino studies, that could
he going after the Divine Nine.
That could ban Greeks, but also any affinity organizations. That could be the African American Student Association, like any of that shit. He's trying to get rid of it. They are probably going to repeal affirmative action in the summer. It's expected to happen, which could event. They could come after HBCUs next. Legit.
Absolutely.
This is where we are. This is not hyperbole. So I think that people really need to read the tea leaves and be a little more actively engaged instead of thinking like, damn, that's Florida. Damn, that's Tennessee. Damn, that's Arizona. No,
like that's over there.
Yeah, that's not the case anymore because these are always trial balloons. And as soon, and like, there is always a risk of these measures going national because we don't have a SCOTUS that's going to have our back. So that's really the overarching message in all of this shit for me. It's like, y'all need to watch what the fuck is going on.
Do we think that the Clarence Thomas findings are going to have any sort of...
I do. I actually think... You know? Yes, I do think that he's the weak link, and he's, you know, definitely the weak link in the Supreme Court. He's been the weak link 100%. Since he got there. He was literally kind of like an affirmative action hire, at the, you know, air quotes hire for the Supreme Court. He doesn't do shit. He doesn't, you know, have any opinions on anything. And I think that the Biden administration is like, let's try to get him out the paint.
But I don't know if they can. That's the thing. Like,
but not to come up with him taking money and gifts from
other justices. His other justices have to agree.
I don't think they fuck with him. I think you know, Antonin Scalia was his guy. He's long passed away, and I don't think he has anybody on that court who really fucks with him like that.
The thing though is that he's the senior justice on the court.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much weight that holds, but he is the senior justice on the court. But the other justices have to agree. I think there's a vote or a process. It's kind of like an impeachment process.
Yeah.
To get them out of there. So the question is whether or not they're going to do that. If they're able to do that during the Biden administration, that would be great. It's still not going to bring us back to where we need to be.
But it's closer.
Yeah. And that's the hard part. Like even getting rid of Thomas is not going to bring us back to where we need to be, but it'll get us closer. But the problem is like, I have lost faith in the Supreme Court. Cause frankly, the fact that Thomas got to vote on whether or not to impeach Trump for January 6th when his wife was so heavily involved in January 6th,
the fact
that he had to recuse himself, I was already like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, but that also is the problem. The Supreme Court has a credibility problem. And as the Supreme Court of the United States that's the highest court in the land that is actually the overruling, the body that decides our laws and our governances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a credibility problem with the SCOTUS, like we have a credibility, like everything is in jeopardy, right? So I would love to see that for the sake of the institution to get him the fuck out of here, but I have no faith that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Inka, you got anything before we wrap up?
Oh, man, I'm tired.
Motherfucker died.
I be feeling, I very much relate to how the elders must have felt during the civil rights journey, where it was like, I may not get there with you. Cause right now I'm like, this shit gonna be fucked up till I die. And I just gotta help.
Yeah, man. I just feel so helpless. Like, it's
very, but that's why I kind of had to get to resignation, where I'm like, I'm gonna still try to fight, but I'm more like, it's my role now to help train the next generation to get this fight going. Cause it's not, that's the thing I think that is hard for people to comprehend. We not about to get shit back right in like a year or 2 years.
No.
Or one administration.
The Democratic Party is so fucked. We don't even know who is running, or is there a front runner for 2024.
Well, you know what? Like, Democratic Party is fucked because Democrats always focus on executive branch while Republicans be focusing on local politics.
And legislation.
And legislation. And they're always seeding the pipeline for new leadership, and we skip over local shit and just blame the president for every fucking thing. We don't even need to pay attention to Congress the way we need to, right? So, which leads
us. Or the local judges. Like, those are the ones that are going to affect your life.
The school board, which is like really the base of the fight right now. The school board, all people go straight, the sheriff, people skip straight over that shit, right?
They act like Joe Biden's like a big wizard. He could just go,
And then they be like, and don't even want to come at their congressman. They be talking about other people's congressmen. I'm like, what are you doing with your congressperson? Like, you know what I'm
saying?
Like,
ain't doing nothing.
You got to see that shit. There is a pipeline. You know what I mean? It goes from city council to fucking state to, you know, like, people just skip over that whole shit, or just be like, I'm not voting for everything. Vote down ballot. Nigga, like, what the fuck is wrong? Yeah. You know, so I'm just like, there's so many. And the problem with the Democrats is it's just too big a tent. It's too big a tent. And the ideology of people who vote Dem is so...
It's all over the place. It's all over the place.
All over the place. Where Republicans just be like, we don't want this. We don't want that. We want lower taxes. We want immigrants gone. We want white power. And we want guns. And we want abortion. It's very simple. And they've been on the same policies for 50 years. Literally, since the moment that Civil Rights Acts were passed, they've been on... get this shit out of here. And that's it, which is why their messaging can be very clear, because it's
very narrow. Yeah, exactly.
It's been the same shit. So it's like, I'm at a point right now where, although I'm not saying that I'm hopeless, I am a realist, and I believe that people on the left keep doing this, we gotta stay hopeful, and we can't, but in doing that, you are ignoring very real alarm bells that are going off about what the fuck is what. And although we got to stay hopeful and you can't be a fear monger, that's how the fuck we got Trump in office in the first place. People used to literally tell me I was being a fear monger. I'm like, because you should be fearful of this.
That's why.
You know what I'm saying?
Looping back, that's why the Justins gave me a little glimmer of hope, because they didn't cower or tower. But it was wild because they didn't like yell and cuss and go crazy.
Right.
But they were very firm and clear and forceful in what they were saying. They, especially Justin, I think it's just Justin Jones, when he was like, that's Justin Pearson. Okay. Justin Jones was like, somebody pissed in the chair over there. Y'all ain't spell him.
Yeah. You know,
somebody was on domestic violence, they ain't spell him. But he was like, very clear, like, what this is. Like, and he said, like, this is racism. Y'all, you're mad because a black person came in here and didn't cower to y'all, and now y'all don't know what to do. So I hope there's more of them coming up.
Yeah, and I think we also gotta give some room. I was having this conversation with my boyfriend the other day. Like, we gotta give, because we were talking about Angel, actually, and, you know, her remarks about Joe Biden inviting Biden. You know, there's a lot of people who's like, she might need to calm it down a little. And I was like, here's the thing, though. We got to give the kids a little bit of room.
Angel's only 20 years old.
They see, but also they
she's
see
a child.
Things, but they also see things in a way we don't. Movements,
definitely.
Movements of change have been driven by college age students and young adults.
That's my point. Yeah,
the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, like that's all been college students and young adults. We got to give them some room. And step back, because there's a lot of us who just assume this shit ain't possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, it's not gonna happen. It's not
jaded.
And while sometimes, yes, they are a little idealistic and black and white in what they think can be, they have the energy and the fervor to like try.
Yes. Right?
And to at least say, Like what I was talking about, the J.R. Smith doc, they talked about the ANT4 who started the World War sit-ins.
Mm-hmm.
To integrate the counter. I'm sure their parents were like, y'all gonna get shot. Don't do that
shit. Yeah. Well, I ain't send you down that school to be doing all that protesting.
Exactly. I sent you down there to get your books learning. You're mm-hmm. not sitting in no counter while you're supposed to be there. You know, but look what that did. You know, that sparked the whole movement. So we gotta give the young... first of all, I'm happy to see young people in elected office, period.
Yep. Yeah, because I was shocked at how young they were. Yeah, I was like, damn, 27.
And that's a trend that's happening across the country. And it's a lot of young black people getting mm-hmm. into office. I think that we have been discouraged from participation. It's like, why are you going to be part? You're going to just be part of the problem. Whereas you got to be in the system to help work the system.
Term limits and age limits just make sense.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
It doesn't make sense that our president is 84 years old.
Yeah. It does not, and that
and
is
also,
not.
And also, conversely, I think because a lot of these people are young. To your point, Nye, I'm hoping that they won't be so easily jaded by bread, because that's what always happens. The white power base goes, well, let's pick them off. We give this guy, you know, $1 million, this guy two, mm-hmm. this girl $2 million, as we saw with the people from, you know, the Ferguson and all that. They buying mansions and shit. It's like, let these young people, you know, do their work. Yes, they need to get paid. They need to live a good life. That's not what I'm saying, but like, they won't be, I don't think, you know, these people will be so apt to like take the bread. You know, they'll be like, nah, I got that, because they're more idealistic. They're like, nah, I got shit to do. Like, I don't want, because then I know if I take your money, now you control me and it's over, you know? So, so we'll obviously want to keep an eye on that. So, yeah, that's it. We're wrapping it up. Next, I'm going to hold the currency issues with people, big countries, you know, going away from the American dollar. I'm going to hold that to next week, because I definitely want brother be involved in that. But that's a very interesting. Very interesting.
You need the Pop Life official financial. Yeah,
we need the Pop Life Merle Lynch.
I want to give a shout out before we close out to country cousin, friends of the show, Lauren Grant Grove, and to also friends of the show, George 2.0. HBCU Homecoming in New York is next weekend.
Oh, the spring. Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Spring coming. I want to give them a shout out for that. It has grown to great lengths over the years. As a matter of fact, this year they did their second one in Birmingham. It's like a Birmingham takeover for the weekend.
Wow, that's big.
So I will be, next weekend is my birthday weekend. I'll be carrying my ass up to New York to hang out.
You're going
to
do the boogie yokey thing?
No, only because I'm out of town all next week and trying to figure out scheduling boogie yokey and going to support spring coming.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much.
I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it at some point in May, though, because I do want to do. I miss it.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to do it at some point in May, just not as my birthday.
Just as an event.
Yeah, just as an event. But last year's was so much fun that I'm sad not to do it. And of course, people would ask me. The first thing people asked me when I moved was like, where are you going to do boogie yokey at? And
Where are you going to be at?
I got to get to one of these. You times. Do. So yeah, don't stop doing
gotta
it.
Get to one.
I'm not going to stop. Oh, I can't stop. I don't think people would let me stop if I tried. So I definitely am going to do one at some point this summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're going to wrap up on that note. Happy Easter again, and we're Resurrection Sunday, Easter, whatever you want to call it.
Serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is risen no matter what men say. Amen.
Oh, my God.
Amen and amen.
She went full auntie on us just right then. Amen.
This is my favorite time. Well, first of all, it is the most religious holiday.
It definitely is.
This is the first time that all of the religious holidays have fallen in the same week. So we got Passover, Ramadan, and Easter.
I do want to acknowledge, like, it's bad in Israel right now, which always happens when all the holidays converge on each other like that. When all the holy holidays are very close, it's bad. So, you know, just shout out to
Israel. Be safe in Israel. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're wrapping it up. We'll see y'all next week, and take care.
Later.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean.
Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.